This FPL season has definitely been go, go, go. A nonstop hustle all the time. Matches, deadlines, unexpected blank and double game weeks, on top of everything the real world has had in store. Sometimes you need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for Coors Light. It's made to chill. For me personally, supporting Fulham during this last year has been a true roller coaster ride. Honestly, when that Adama Traore goal flew past Areola in the 92nd minute of game week 31, the only thing that saved my mental state, the only thing that calmed my nerves, was cracking open a Coors Light. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. The mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. That way, you always know when it's time to chill. When you need to hit reset, just open a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. And listen, everyone, summer is pretty much here. It's about to get hot in New York. An ice-cold Coors Light is such a perfect way for me to beat that summertime heat. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light and the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate.
Hey, all cheaters, and welcome to the Always Cheating Fantasy Premier League Podcast. My name is Josh. I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
I'm breathless, Josh. What a thrilling derby day. We're recording shortly after the Merseyside derby, and...
I said derby and derby in the same sentence there. That's really... Your Americanisms and your Britishisms both came out in the same...
you should see the hat I'm wearing right now, Josh. I'll leave the listeners to guess what type of hat I'm wearing, but... There you have. Do you think they call a derby hat a derby hat in England?
They must, right? I think it's the whole word is just pronounced differently over there.
So let's stick with derby. So derby day for me was like going to a concert. Well, so I went to see Rage Against the Machine when mm-hmm. I was a freshman in college, and Wu-Tang Clan opened for them. Who opened for Wu-Tang Clan? Well, it was Atari Teenage Riot. Never heard of them. You know, they were fine, whatever, but it was all just sort of setting the table for the main events. Mm-hmm. And that was a lot like Derby Day, where Fulham Chelsea was Atari Teenage Riot. Wu-Tang mm-hmm. Clan was definitely the North London Derby. And then we finished it off with Rage Against the Machine in Liverpool. Right.
Okay. Yes. I mean, really, it was a strange match. I don't know. Like, it felt like... it's like this is the new Liverpool, you know, where they sort of I still have an idea in my head that they're this team that like just runs over people, and yeah. they're really not anymore. You know, they're a team that like squeaks out these like kind of tight wins, you know, like they're so much more defensively strong than they used to be.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the working theory is that Klopp is intentionally not pressing as hard just to save
sure.
his team for later in the season. So, yeah, the big question is, when do they decide to actually turn it on?
Yeah. I mean, it clearly worked. What they did last year worked. You know, I mean, they made the Champions League final. If they had more squad depth, they probably would have finished, you know, second in the league or something like that. So, but yeah, I mean, I actually, you know, it looks like they're kind of on the cusp of like maybe missing out on the round of 16. I think they have to yeah. beat a Napoli by like 2-0 or something like that. I mean, wouldn't it be great? Yeah. Like, the best situation for them would, if they want to win the league, would be to not make it any further than the Champions League, right? I mean, you know, yep. just concentrate on the league. It would actually be, if there was a way for them to finish fourth and just miss the Europa League entirely, that would really be the dream scenario for them, I think.
Yeah. The theory I worked out in my own brain today was Klopp just wants to try and qualify for the knockout stages, and then yeah. he can just throw it away and focus on the league.
It's surprising. And on a side note, it's surprising how often he's fielded his strongest possible 11 this season, right? Like
yeah, it's
14
true.
Weeks it's into true. The season, Mo Salah has started every single match. I never would have thought that would happen.
Yeah, right. I guess we were hinting at it. It's the guys he puts out in the starting 11, like Salah, Firmino, and Mane. It's also the tactics with which they deploy. Like somebody like John Terry can start every single match across the league and European fixtures. But if he's not asked to do a whole lot of running or physical exertion, he can do that.
Yeah.
So maybe because of these particular less pressing styles that Klopp is deploying, he feels more comfortable playing these guys.
Yeah.
But at the same time, because of the tactics, we're not getting those FPL points out of them that we want.
I was going to say, is there a way for us to bring FPL back into this? We finally did it four minutes into the podcast. Another solid blank, another clean sheet for Trent and Robertson. Yeah, Van Dijk finally picks up an assist. I mean, we really have probably been sleeping on the double up. I shouldn't say sleeping, because it actually seems to come up we throw it into every podcast. Like, oh, hey, maybe a double up is a good idea, but it's usually like an hour and 15 minutes for the podcast.
Truly, truly the most bizarre. Well, we do live in an FPL world defined by bizarre assists, and we'll get to that a little bit later in the show, but it's up there, like top five weirdest FPL assists.
Did you even think that was going to drop in? It was weird.
I watched it in two parts. The first part, Van Dijk takes a wild volley swing and the ball just flies up in the air. I'm like, well, that was ill-advised. And then it was like I felt as if I turned away from the TV, went and made some toast, came back, and then the Origi portion of that play happened. It seems so just separate in my mind.
Honestly, that is a Pickford assist. Van Dijk is lucky to get I think he got an assist on that.
Yeah.
I guess it's a shot on target. It's like a cross. And it was just a weird one. One of the strangest endings you'll ever see. Weird fantasy week, too. I am probably feeling okay. So I was thinking about this earlier. I have two transfers going into the next game week. Thank God. Cause it looks like I'm on 49 points, which, I just can't remember ever feel like, okay, I say this like once a year, but this is like as low as I can remember feeling. Mm-hmm. Like I just am so, I just feel so done, you know, like if I feel like, I honestly feel like if I didn't have a podcast, I would just be like checked out for a while. Cause I just feel so just depressed and wiped out. And I just like, I don't know. It's like the problem with making,
we're
a couple
here for
bit
you,
trans-
Josh. We're here
I know,
for you.
Right. I know. Thank you. But the problem with making a couple, I don't know. Sorry, by the way, someone's like, yeah, last week it was the baby crying. Now it's like someone like, I don't even know what they're doing. Like they got like a wind blower outside or something like
that. We're trying to reinvent the image of Always Cheating as a podcast in which you can hear a car getting carjacked in the background to a more family-friendly podcast, right?
So.
Where people are cleaning and taking care of children.
I don't know what's going on. So
you're bummed out.
So the problem with making a couple bad transfers is it actually really – at least for me, it really hurts my confidence and it makes it harder for me to make more good. It's like, I feel like I don't trust myself to make transfers anymore, you know? Yeah. And so I end up holding transfers because I don't know what to do. It's like, I get crippled with indecision, you know? And so I feel like that's where I am right now, where I just like, I don't even know what I'm doing, you know? And it's such a, such a frustrating spot to be. I don't know. I mean, it's a, Hazard is gone. Morata obviously gone. Morata might be gone by the end of the recording of this podcast. I might burn four. I might burn eight. I might delete my team. I don't know. Like, there's a lot of things on the table right now. I know that 48 is not like, or 49, I guess is what it's going to turn out to.
I think
49
looks like 48.
One point above average, right?
Yeah, right. 48 would be the average. It looks like the top 1,000 was on fire this week. It looks like their average is going to be closer to 57 points.
Right. So 49 is, you know, eight below average. It's not exactly, you know, a nightmare scenario, but just the way that it played out was, you know, all of my high ownership players did well. All of my sort of differential picks didn't. And that is the recipe for a bad season, right? Like, just no one that I have who has low ownership is doing well. And it reminds me of something that somebody once said about fantasy, which is that when you're debating transfers, you know, there's the obvious pick, always a good option. There's the differential pick that everyone's talking about, also often a good option. If there's a pick that nobody is talking about, that's usually a player you want to avoid. And I've got like a couple too many people on my team right now that nobody was talking about. And so that's really what's got to change. It's just my overinvestment in Chelsea is what's killing me.
Yeah, I would be remiss if I didn't say it was the third game week in a row in which Murata finishes on negative BPS. So
You didn't have to say that. You didn't have to. It was horrible. Yeah. I mean, the problem was there was no move that I could make this week that really made sense, given that I wanted to do some serious surgery. You know, yeah. I mean, I didn't really want to bring in Jimenez just for the one game, you know, just for the one game week, especially with them playing Chelsea the next game week. It felt like that was going to hamstring me a little bit, and it looked like Murata was going to start. And if he was going to start at home to Fulham, I just felt like I had to hold on to him, you know? And so it put me in a terrible spot. And then, you know, the guy is just, I mean, it honestly, I think, is the worst transfer I have made in all of my years playing fantasy. I know that sounds hyperbolic, but in like whatever it is, 8 years of playing fantasy, I've never made a transfer as bad as that. And it's just, it's really like screwing up my confidence, you know, and it's such a frustrating spot to be. So anyway, I'm trying to just rebound with the two transfers, you know, like get myself back on track. I'm still like probably going to end up around 30K in the world. I mean, it's not like, you know, I'm spiraling outside the top 100K or something like that, you know? So it's just that I'm frustrated because I felt like I was pushing on, and now I'm just sort of, it's like, I'm just keeping my head above water, you know? So anyway, that's my game week.
I think you'll be all right. I think the last transfer you made, Lucas Digne, was representative of your path forward. Just looking at what is the biggest problem, what's the most logical option, and do that. And I think with two frees, you're poised.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah, I locked into a pretty good game week 14 just by virtue of Aguero not starting.
Yeah.
So I captained Aguero and the vice captain was on Sterling. So I get 18 points there.
Yeah.
And I mean, the only regret in hindsight is that I didn't do a thing that I'll never do, is play five defenders at the back. So I've built Buena second on my bench, who I won't get in. But 64 should help me crack the top 5K overall in the world. So
that's great.
Thrilled.
It's fantastic. Yeah, I got four clean sheets across the back myself. I wish that I had played Fabianski over Patricio. I debated it. It's one of those ones. Even after it happened, I'm surprised. You know, I mean, Newcastle had three on the bounce and looked good. The attack seemed solid. West Ham have been, you know, conceding goals to everybody. I mean, literally, you know, there's
only one clean sheet this entire season.
Exactly. So for them to go in there and dominate Newcastle, you know, on the road, it was shocking. And so, you know, it was annoying. That was a seven, you know, it cost me 7 points, but I just honestly didn't debate it that seriously, you know? And so anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Same with me. I thought about diversifying and starting Matty Ryan, but I just could not see West Ham keeping a clean sheet at St. James Park. So there you go. All right, let's get through the housekeeping real quick. We're going to try and keep this pod as tight as possible because
pretty short this
obviously
week.
Really short turnaround between the midweek game week deadline for game week 15. So real quick, the Always Cheating Super League, it's updating at the moment. I mean, we may just shout this out on our next episode because everything is going to be in constant motion through the midweek fixtures. We've got a few new Patreon thank yous. If you want to support the pod, of course, go to patreon.com/always cheating, where we've got access to our Slack channel and all sorts of cool swag. Right now, if you become a Patreon member, we've got a discount code to our new Always Cheating shop that's at alwayscheating.com. So Josh, take us through the new members.
We've got looks like six new members. Nim Wallace, Julian Bennett are two new Poku level patrons, Brandon. So those guys get bonus shout outs this season. Daniel is a new Sorloth level patron, and three new Empakani patrons, Jeff Priestman, Kiwi Nick, and Dean Newsom. So thank you to all of you guys. Thank you to all of our patrons. This, Brandon, we're in December. This is our Always Cheating Pledge Month. So and by the way, a couple of people who have just became new pledges. I have messages on the way to you guys, but I was actually Brandon, a little real life information. I've been away at a work conference the last few days. I'm a little behind on sending out some emails to people. But we also posted a new Ask Us Anything podcast this week too. So it's about 90 minutes of you and I answering like, like a good very 30 personal questions. Very yeah. personal. Yeah, exactly. So if you want to know more about us or God, yeah, if you want to know more than you thought you wanted to know about us, then subscribe to the podcast and you get access to
and
that.
Interesting tease for that Ask Us Anything podcast. Jeff Goldblum came up, which created a whole exciting thread on Slack with our Patreon members of somebody who actually knows Jeff Goldblum. So it's celebrity access here at Always Cheating. Another
and he posted a photo of himself with Bruce Springsteen. It was amazing.
Yeah, shout out to James. You're a real player out there in Los Angeles. Another perk that comes from being a Patreon member is you are enrolled automatically in our Starting 11 Retro Kit contest. Starting 11 is, of course, our friends who have the daily fantasy Premier League app available for your iOS or Android phone. And each month, whoever has the top score in that month gets a free retro kit courtesy of Starting 11. November, it's a heated competition. You know, the final scores are still calculating, but it's a dead heat. In the top three players right now in November in our Patreon league, it's Guy Paladis, some guy who will remain nameless, his team name Ayuki Dini Me, and in first place Jared Wiedemeyer. And whoever wins will hit you up with an email real quick and you can pick your retro kit of your choice.
Yep, exactly.
Which means December, the December retro kit contest starts now.
Right, exactly. So if you support the podcast, you get access to the Slack, you get access to the Patreon exclusive podcast. I think we might have two more coming just this month as well. Lots of other stuff too, our league and the retro kit contest, et cetera, et cetera. So Brandon, keeping this tight though. So moving on, rants of the week. Tom Cat says, this is Tom's rant. I guess it's an FPL site rant. He says, assists need a complete overhaul. The current system is a mess. It should be the last attacking player to pass/touch the ball to the goalkeeper. Simple as that. I assume, Brandon, this ended up helping you. I think you gained 2 points as a result of this.
Go ahead.
The Sané assist that wasn't.
Yeah, because Sané did not get the assist on that first goal, which Bernardo Silva ended up putting in, ended up getting Sterling those 2 bonus points and allowing me to gain some ground on anyone who had Sané and captained him. So, although I was manning the Always Cheating Twitter feed on Saturday, and to my selfless credit, I was pro Sané assist during that match. And I was actually dumbfounded that the FPL didn't end up awarding the assist to Sané.
Yeah, it just was weird. I mean, I guess it's because it's a cross maybe and not a shot on goal. That's, I don't know. But it was so awkward from Begovic that it was just like it made it look weird. It was like if Begovic just like toes it away or something and it's a goal, then maybe it's different. But he kind of, I don't know. Yeah, I was I got home late last night and I was watching all highlights of all the matches and I was like, really? That did not count as assist? I was shocked.
Yeah. I have two things for Tom regarding his question. Like in a sense, I agree with him in that let's just go, if Opta says it's an assist, that's the assist for FPL. But on the other hand, I think we were talking about this a little bit last week. Any way in which FPL can just introduce more points, it's fun to score points. So I do like that the assist rule in FPL is a little looser and it's a little easier for our attackers to get points, and that's fun. So yeah.
But I guess
kind of in two minds.
If you're going to be looser, I guess you just want to go all the way with the looseness. You know,
sure,
it's like like they don't quite, it's like a bend but don't break. But yeah, I guess it's fine. It's just like the last person that touches the ball. Like Tomcat suggesting, and even if it takes the last attacker that touches the ball before the goal is scored. Unless, like, I mean, obviously, like, you know, back pass that gets interested. You know, I mean, there are situations where it just wouldn't apply at all. But otherwise, sure. Like, if you create the situation that leads to the goal, give them the assist. I think that's fine. Like, it's not real life. It's a game, you know? And so, like you said, more points are good. That's, you know, I'm in favor as well.
All right. So a quick rundown of what's coming up in the pod. We're going to talk about the key issue, which is our premium striker slot. Aguero, Kane, and Aubameyang. Everyone wants to talk about those three guys and who we're rolling with into the festive fixtures. And we're also going to look at, we've got some underperforming players, big time players who might be underperforming and screwing up your team. We're going to look at them and see if they're in fact underperforming or if we're just being impatient. Got a quick lightning round, and then we'll preview game weeks 15 and 16. So Josh, what do you say we take a quick break?
Let's do it. I'm ready. All right, Brandon, we're into part one of the podcast. As you mentioned before, it's going to be a slightly shorter podcast this game week. Part one is Aguero, Kane, Aubameyang, FPL, Palmoni. I feel like we've got some questions from some new folks this week, Brandon. I like that. He says, this week's big question is Aguero out and Kane or Aubameyang in. So Kane scores, you know, a very, very 2018-19 season Kane situation, right, where he scores He scores a goal, picks up 6 points, and that's kind of what you're getting from him. So it looks good. You look in aggregate, you're like, wow, Kane's got 9 goals in the season. But you're not getting those explosive returns.
And, of course, just to nudge on that, the goal that Kane scores is a penalty, one having nothing to do with him.
Right, exactly. Yeah, so penalty of nothing. It's one of those, you know, this is kind of like, it's like a Milivojevic last year. There's just... I guess it's just like a bit of randomness, but they're inevitably like one, like every season there's one player that just seems to score like a ton of like ton more goals than they should because they're picking up penalties. Like I think that Hazard's had some seasons like that before. We just had like tons of penalties. And obviously like to be the penalty taker, you've got to be a very good player. You got to be in the pitch a lot. Yeah. But obviously, you know, an open play goal is more reflective of how influential you are in the match.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but of course then we have Aubameyang who also scored a goal on a penalty today. But certainly Aubameyang looks like he's so interesting. He's like a kind of like a poacher, but he's also, he's just such a natural goal scorer. It's amazing, right? It's just such instincts.
There's a bit of like bounty hunter about him in that there were situations today where he just knew he'd have to do it all on his own. And he did it. He was able to do it. There's this ability about Aubameyang. It was interesting to watch the narrative shift throughout the North London Derby. Kane scores the penalty, and everyone is like, ooh, my finger is right above the transfer in button. Let's go, Kane. Everyone was sort of primed to bring him in after this fixture. And then Aubameyang comes in with this fantastic screamer of a goal in the second half to get him a brace plus an assist. Suddenly everyone's like, yeah, you know what? Kane actually not the best value out there. Aubameyang definitely. And now there is this cognitive dissonance happening. And the thing that I think we need to talk about too is we're both Aguero owners, and I am not remotely convinced that it's time to get rid of Aguero. I mean, if Pep comes out tomorrow or Tuesday and or we find out midweek that Aguero is actually injured and he's going to be out for a couple more matches, then I'll reconsider. But I've done some quick comparisons on the Fantasy Football Scout member page, and Aguero is through the course of the season beating both of these guys. I mean, you have to take these players in current form, so maybe these stats are slightly unfair, but I don't know. Are you feeling anxious about Sergio right now?
I don't know. A little bit, I guess. You know, a little bit, mostly because I kind of want these other players, you know. I mean, it's his return. I mean, you know, he has not been super. I mean, you and I have both been very pro Aguero the entire season, really kind of. We've been beating back, you know, questions. The part of the issue is, like, if you look at the next, okay, so his price hasn't risen. His ownership is really high, which is a problem, right? Yeah. So if you drop him and he does well, then you could be in trouble. He has not been great on the road this season, right? They've got two road matches coming up, including an away match at Chelsea in game week 16. So if he's out for game week 15, then with the Watford away at midweek, then he starts for game week 16, then it's really not like a great time to have him, you know, like it's Like, it's basically like 2 game weeks where you could have Harry Kane or you could have Aubameyang. Aubameyang's game week 15 fixture is not great. It's it's away to Man United. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't even know if that's a bad fixture anymore.
He could do an Armstrong.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, everyone is scoring at Man United this year, so that's probably a fine fixture. And then they play at home to Huddersfield in game week 16. So that's a captainable fixture for him right there. Mm-hmm. You know, the question for Kane is, you know, is Kane ever going to get a rest? I honestly don't know. I mean, you would think at some point it might happen. Midweek, they're home to Southampton. Does he? I don't know. I mean, the rest thing is just like, how long is this going to go? How, you know?
Yeah. How long are we going to keep it? It's a little bit like us talking about Diego Costa walking the yellow card tightrope. You know, it was all in the talking about will it, won't it happen? And it never did.
Yeah. So I really just don't know what to do with until we find out what's going on with Aguero. If Aguero was cleared to play, but the problem is, are we going to know? Is he going to say anything? I mean, you know, none of us, we've talked about this in recent podcasts, but I mean, you know, the stuff that happens with Aguero, no one knows about it. You know, I mean, it's just not, no one's inside these clubs breaking this information to us. It's very unlike, you know, now in the NFL, you know, it's like NFL fantasy is a lot easier because they just have like, they have, you know, question, they have like status reports that they have to send out, right? And like, you know, on match days, if somebody is out hours before, you know, it's like, it's just like a thing that breaks, you know, like I'm a Detroit Lions fan. I shouldn't be, but I am. And I know that day or the day before if a player is out for that match. With the Premier League, you know if that player's out when the team sheet comes out and suddenly they say, oh yeah, Aguero had an issue in training yesterday. And now he's not playing this weekend, right? No, that was not leaked anywhere as far as I know, right? I mean, God knows you and I are in enough forums and enough different places that we would have found out about it if it had leaked, right? Somebody would have saw it, you know? Jamie Jackson, the infamous Jamie Jackson, was the first person to leak it. But naturally, because it was a, you know, Friday deadline, it didn't actually matter. Probably made everybody angrier at Jamie Jackson. What was actually annoying about that for me was I got completely screwed because basically everyone seemingly had Sterling as their vice captain or they got like Callum Wilson off the bench. It was like him not playing was kind of a worst case scenario for my particular team. And then and then Brooks doesn't actually start. He comes on for 1 point, in the 77th minute. So just a complete nightmare for me. I mean, it probably cost me like a 5 or 10 point swing right there. In terms of, overall rank. So, or in terms of like, you know, my score versus the overall rank.
Yeah. Quickly on that point, a guy like David Brooks or Martial not starting, it burned. It was like taking our medicine this weekend, but it gives, it fills me with a little bit of confidence going into midweek. Now, I mean, Trigger Lips was actually pointing this out on his Twitter feed, just bemoaning how people come out and pretend like they know what rest and rotation actually means and predicting what the lineups are going to be when nobody actually knows. But I like the idea of just getting burned by these lineups over the weekend and now going into midweek with a little more confidence in terms of what the patterns might be. Now, we're not saying we know 100%.
These injuries throw everything off, though. I honestly thought that Aguero gets injured and just throws everything off. If he doesn't get injured, it seems likely that he plays this weekend. That Chelsea away match could be like a, I don't want to say it's like a title decider, but I mean, they're competing so tightly right now with Liverpool. That's a huge match. So you play him this weekend because he doesn't need to rest for two fixtures, but you play him this weekend. He rests at midweek in the Watford match, which they should be able to win pretty easily. Mm-hmm. And then you have him fresh for the Chelsea match. I mean, that just seemed like the way that they should do it. But the way it worked out, it's, you know, Jesus plays and Sterling picks up an unassisted goal and actually should have had 2 goals. I really can't believe he didn't score in the end of the first half.
Yeah. I do wonder if the midweek Champions League travel had anything to do with it. This is all just mindless speculation at this point, but I see what you're saying. So, all right. So we have to make a decision though. Aguero's price is going down as we speak. Aubameyang's price is going up also as we speak. Yep. Kane is just flatlining as he is this season. I will apply a new FPL law, and it is the law of happiness. And I look at these three strikers, and Aubameyang is clearly the happiest, and he looks like he's actually having fun. He's enjoying his clearly defined role in the team. Kane looks like, despite him actually being, what, like 25 or 26, looks like he is out on the field, like, dishing out Werther's original hard candy to everyone, like a nice old grandpa. And Aguero just, it's hard to tell where his head's at. He's trying. He's in a great team. But, I think
he... Fun haircut. Yeah.
Fun haircut. He is having fun in that respect. Yeah. He's having fun at the salon. But
all right, so I could I have two transfers. I could do Hazard, Morata, and Aguero for David Silva, Harry Kane, and Aubameyang. I could just do that with the funds I have in my bank right now. Why would I not do that? Like, that seems like a good move, right? I mean, I know this is like very team specific, but David Silva gets rested at the weekend, only plays, I think, like 11 minutes or 13 minutes, near certainty to start, right?
Yeah.
Harry Kane, Aubameyang, maybe they get rested, maybe not. But I mean, Aubameyang's already scored 4 goals off the bench this year.
Yeah.
I mean, that kind of feels like a possible good move, you know? So, I'm a little worried about Arnautovic, possibly not playing at midweek, you know, because of his injury. Although he did get subbed off early, got subbed off in the 70th minute, which I think will help.
And he wasn't stretchered off as is his recent custom. My knee popped out. I need a stretcher.
He isn't a striker anymore. That is the one worry with him. Unless they're playing like a 4-4-2. I assume he's playing. I didn't see enough. I don't know tactically how everything lined up in the West Ham Newcastle match, but I assume that he was playing behind Chicharito,
plays behind him,
right?
Always.
Which in some ways is actually fine. Like I don't think that necessarily hurts him having Chicharito play together with him.
Yep.
But at that point, you're playing for he's an out of position. He's a forward playing as a midfielder, but their fixtures are so good that I can't say that I have any desire to get rid of Arnautovic right now. I mean, what do you think about him?
I have the same questions. He hasn't been producing very much. Mm-hmm. We've got an assist here or there, and they're currently in their great run of fixtures. So I think we've to this point hoped to see more goals from him. Yeah, I think if I look at my front three, Jimenez, Aguero, and Arnautovic, I generally agree with all of the worries about Aguero, but Arnautovic is the one that I'd most like to resolve. The problem is I'd like to turn I'd like to get a piece of this Kane and Aubameyang action, and I can't.
Right.
You know, you're going to have to trade some premium asset to get one of these guys in. So do I look at Salah to do that? Maybe that's something that I have to look at midweek, because we're going to talk a little bit about underperforming players in a second, but maybe I turn Arnautovic into Aubameyang by dropping Salah. That makes me a little anxious.
Liverpool play Burnley and Bournemouth in the next two. They're both away. Mo Salah will not be starting one of those two matches. That is a dead certainty. I don't know which one though. And as long as he gets minutes in both those matches, I'm probably moving him. Doesn't feel like the most urgent priority for me. It's like fourth on the list. If your team in a situation like yours, you could probably do it, actually. I mean, you could even move him to someone like Mane if you wanted to hold on to – if you wanted to have some, like, some piece of Liverpool, you know, but for $3 million cheaper. I mean, I guess I'm just – maybe it's just because, like, I've had, like, this, you know, 4 red arrows and 5 or something like that. But I feel like I'm really trying to, like, you know, like some of these, like, what's the word, like – precious, you know, like just like some of my like closely held opinions about some of these players, I'm starting to reform a little bit. And like,
do you want to kill? You have to kill your darlings, Josh.
Kill your darlings, exactly. So
that kind of leads us nicely segue into the next part of the podcast, which is: are they underperforming, or are we just impatient? So we need to look at these key players like Hazard, Alonso, Salah, and Mane, who you just mentioned, Martial, Richarlison, the Wolves. defense. We've got a lot of questions of people often just write into the pod ahead of our recording just saying, I've got questions about these guys. Do I hold or do I get rid? We have a question here from Paul Larkin. This will help sort of frame our discussion. Is form over fixtures the optimal FPL approach? I asked this after sitting on Patricio for weeks on these past two fixtures and keeping the faith in Hazard in the hope he'd score big this week against Fulham. Makes me wonder how important fixtures really are. So do you have a percentage in your mind, Josh, of it's this percent fixtures and it's this percent form?
No, I mean, no, I don't.
I don't either. So I agree. Yeah. I think,
I mean, it's like, there's a kind of logic to it, right? I mean, you know, I think it's more true of defenders than it is of forwards, maybe. Right. Yeah. I think forwards can be a little more fixture proof. It depends on the setup of the team as well. Right. I mean, you know, Callum Wilson scores a goal away to Man City. That's not a shocking goal, right? Mm-hmm. Like Bournemouth are an attacking team. They're always going to have chances in a match. Yeah. But Juan Bissaka picks up a, you know, clean sheet at home. I know they picked up a clean sheet away to Man United the week before, although honestly, they were a bit lucky to have a clean sheet in that match. I mean, both teams were lucky to have clean sheets. That was one of those nil-nils that could have been like, you know, 2-2 or something like that. Mm-hmm. But this match at home was like a classic, like fixture, right? It was like, you've been holding on to this 4 million defender for weeks and weeks because he's going to have a run of games where they play teams like Burnley at home, and he's mm-hmm. going to be a great asset for those matches. So, you know, with in-form strikers, I do think that they tend to be kind of fixture proof. And let's just leave Man. I think we can just both agree that Man City's attack is utterly fixture proof, right? There's no fixture that is scary for them. Maybe Liverpool away, and they've already played that match, right? So that team is fixture proof. You still want to keep loading up on those assets.
Yeah.
For everybody else, I mean, you know, it's like look at Richarlison, right? I mean, you know, he's having an excellent season, but you know, and okay, he did blank at home, you know, last week. But you know, I mean, the guy played, what was it? They played, sorry, I'm just pulling it up here. Right. They were played away to Chelsea in game week 12 and away to Liverpool in game week 14. I mean, those aren't fixtures where you expect him to pick up a lot of points, you know, that's just how it is.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think, you know, that's, so I guess like, I mean, I feel like a lot of people have moved like totally into the form like category where they just don't care about fixtures at all.
Yeah.
I don't feel that way. I think historically that has not been the case. You know, but yeah, you can probably overdo it a little bit, but I think this question is probably drawn from a lot of frustration that a lot of us are feeling about Wolves, which is that they were a team that looked really solid, really tight defensively. I mean, they kept, you know, 4 clean sheets in 5 matches between game weeks 4 and 8. And they've just, they're conceding to everybody. Right. Yeah. I mean, in the last, what is it? 6 game weeks, they have conceded goals to Watford, Brighton, Huddersfield, and Cardiff. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just, it's not in the Watford match and the Huddersfield match are both at home, you know, and they lost 2-0 in those 2 matches.
In the immortal words of Pete Campbell, not great, Bob.
Yeah, exactly. So you know, so you have Matt Doherty, who he might actually be fixture proof, right? Because you know, he plays as a wing back and he just got a nose for goal. You know, I mean, that's that goal he took was a very Marcus Alonso-y goal that he scored on Friday.
Very much so.
Yeah, and just right, you know, just knew where to be, or was, you know, was kind of lucky to be there, but knew to take his chance when it was there.
Yeah,
you know, and he also just bombs down and creates chances for his teammates too. You know, Patricio, like, maybe it is time to let that team go. I mean, you know, the 5 at the or the 3 at the back, the wingback formation, you know, it like didn't stay in vogue very long, right? And it's sort of. I mean, are Wolves the only team that's actually playing that way right now? It might be, right? Does any other team have a wingback setup?
Well, I think didn't Spurs were playing with wingbacks for a while today. Arsenal set up with 3
sometimes
at the back.
They do.
Yeah, I think it's almost like exactly what we're talking.
Not week in, week out, though.
Yeah, it's context dependent, and
right.
I'm unsure about Wolves. The way I'm thinking about them is you in have an encounter with somebody, maybe it's a coworker, and they do something jerky to you, and you think, well, that person's a jerk, or they don't like me. But in reality, they're actually having a bad day, and there is something outside of the realm of your knowledge that affected that interaction. I really don't know what's going on with Wolves. Are they reverting to the mean, or are they actually just having is something going on there that – I mean, I'm not trying to suggest that there's like drama in the locker room and that's what's causing this. I am just speculating that the form we've seen in the last month might not actually be representative of the team. Is the team that we saw at the start of the season actually representative of them? We can't answer that question right now. I guess we have to wait 38 weeks, but for me, and I think for most managers, for you, or say that the standard setup with Wolves would be if you have three Wolves assets, you have Patricio, you have Doherty or any kind of defender, and you have Jimenez. Jimenez probably doesn't need to go because he's decent value for what he's priced at, and he's still managing to scrape up, you know, the FPL points that are the gum under the table. Doherty is still getting points. He's not a problem. Patricio, I think he is a problem, but I think the problem there is if you don't have a rotational setup with your goalkeeper. So we both have rotations. It's Patricio. You have Fabianski. I have Matty Ryan. So it's like I said last week, I think moving Patricio still at this point is a luxury move if you have a rotation or if you have another option. If you don't, then yes, I think Patricio, it's time to move him on because the form is gone. I think you would play Wolves right now as, or you would play Patricio as a form player. So, I don't see any of these other assets like Doherty or Jimenez as problems because they appear to be fixture proof.
It's funny. I'm looking at West Ham's fixtures right now, and I may not even play Patricio until like game week 22. He may not earn another start until and actually even then they play Man City away. So it looks like game week 23. I may go like almost. What is that? That is January 19th. It may be like almost 7 weeks until he starts another match.
My God. FPL Owlbear has a question about Liverpool, which I think we kind of touched upon. Big question, Liverpool assets, not worth it outside of defense. I think we're definitely coming around to the argument that say you're wildcarding right now, double up on Liverpool defense and the ones that are harder to rotate us. But Van Dijk remains very appealing. It's nice to see him finally get any sort of attacking return today. And Trent is looking like he's in the form of his life, as far as I can tell. I think that at the start of the season, I was looking at Andy Robertson as crucial. Like you had to have him. Trent was a rotation concern, but he is in incredible form and exceptional value at what he's priced at. I would go Trent over Robertson right now if I were looking to get one of them.
Yeah, I think I would too, especially because we have seen that Robertson has been rotated a couple of times this year, just once actually. He's only been rotated once, but I we could see it at midweek possibly too. You know, I mean, it's Moreno that he rotates with, so there's not a lot of Klopp is not going to do that comfortably at any time, but you know, it's possible like in this Burnley match, we might, I don't know. I don't mean to like just throw out wild speculation there, but I mean, the same could be true of Trent, but he has been rotating out of some of these Champions League fixtures. So he's been getting the rest, but just not in the fantasy game. Although, at the same time, there obviously has to be some caution there because he did, he was dropped for two matches in game weeks 8 and 9. So, but yeah, like you said, he's in great form right now. So I think I agree with you there. The attacking assets, I mean, the issue is just that I don't know. I mean, it's really tricky. I don't think there's like a really just obvious answer anymore. I do think that it still makes me uncomfortable to not have any attackers from that team. Right. Yeah. I mean, we're talking about probably the second best attack in the league. I guess at some point we have to start talking about Arsenal as maybe the second best attack in the league, which is crazy. I never would have thought that going into the season. But
Torreira in.
Turan, yeah. But, you know, they're not, they don't look like they did last year. We talked about this at the start of the podcast. You know, so Salah's on 86 points, Mane is on 80 points, but Mane is 3.1 million cheaper, right? That is the difference between having David Brooks in your team or David Silva, right? Mm-hmm. It's a pretty giant jump there between those two players. So
I don't know if you shaved David Brooks's head, he'd look strikingly similar to David Silva.
And I like David Brooks, but you know, it's, there is you have to think about how much that money can be spread around a little bit too. Mm-hmm. So I do feel like we're upending so much of what we're saying. I mean, I like I said, I'm not like it's, you know, I'm, moving Salah is something that I may not end up doing the entire season, right? It may that he may just stay there the entire year. So I'm not dying to get rid of him from my team. But yeah, I agree with you. I think if I was on a wild card right now, there's a decent chance that he'd be dropped. Also, he has built up no value. So, you know, there's no, it's not like, you know, you got him at 10 and he's at 11.4 now or something. Like, you know, you can just buy him back at exactly the price you paid for. Or
he's like a, possibly. He's like a boat at this point. Like, you know, it's changing hands, but there's no value up or down. Nobody can really afford boats anyway. So
I know it's I'm sad to say that because my dad is an actual boat salesman, but it's, that's true.
I wouldn't be, even though we've been talking around it and I'm thinking of it, I don't think it's an urgent Salah out situation, because I think the thing that we have always said throughout this season still holds, in that he's a consistent metronomic player this season. He'll get you points. So is it weird that Salah is like morphing into Christian Eriksen before our very eyes?
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. I did think they do a little better in this match. It's kind of like, okay, here, I don't, okay. I had another thought today.
Just to clarify, morphing in terms of FPL points, not as an actual player on the pitch, but go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Shaqiri, is he like, he needs to go like be, like an Arnautovic somewhere, right? Like he does not want to pass the ball like that. He's a midfielder who hates to pass. It is a very strange thing. And I just feel like he might need to be like in a team that just lets him like be like, you know, the short man's Charlie Adam or something, you know,
it's just like everything. Stoke City perhaps.
Yeah, Stoke City. Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know what team's going to let him do that, because I know he's got – with his ego, he's not going to move down a level. But
yeah.
I don't know. It's there are days when he looks like the missing piece for that team, and then there are other times where you're like, this does not work. Like, this guy, you know, like, he is not getting the ball to Firmino. Like, you know, Firmino, Salah, and Mane, when they're all clicking, are – unbelievable, right? I mean, we've seen it already. I mean, they took down everybody last year except for Real Madrid, you know, and, you know, and even then, who knows, because, you know, Salah got injured so early in that match. But, you know, but when all of a sudden, when it's the three of them and Shaqiri starts playing, it's like the Shaqiri show. It's like everyone just kind of sits back and waits for him to do his thing. He's running all over the place. He's muscling everybody else off free kicks. I don't know. I mean, I don't really like Shaqiri, so maybe that's just like my... I used to like him because I like short guys, but he's too selfish.
I was going
to
say,
what do you think about Shaqiri?
I see what you're saying. I don't disagree with you. I think definitely against Everton, it wasn't working for anyone up front. They look very disjointed. I think I'm focusing more on the upside with Shaqiri at Liverpool. And
missed a huge chance too.
He really did. And we, as Salah owners, really could have used any sort of vindication this weekend. It definitely would have helped our rank. What it does make everyone pine for, though, are the days in which Oxlade-Chamberlain suddenly showed up and was reborn at Liverpool. Yeah. And I'm just struggling to figure out what the difference is between what Shaqiri adds to Liverpool and what Oxlade-Chamberlain was doing last season. But we need a little more Ox and a little less Shaq, I suppose.
Shaqiri finished on a Morata-esque -3 bonus points today. By the way, there have to be some managers out there who have Jan Vertonghen, right?
Yeah, sure.
Like, -3 for Vertonghen today. Yeah.
That is a bad day in draft leagues everywhere.
Yes. Oh my God, he might actually be my draft lifting. I gotta go check.
Two more questions just to round out this section before we take a quick break. FPL sure. captain Jeff Willis asks, with the inevitable resting benching of so many players midweek with three games in 7 days, boring as it may be, but is cleaning up and improving our bench better than perhaps just rolling up a transfer? So we both have two free transfers heading into the midweek fixtures, fixtures coming fast and furious. Now you approaching, are you looking at your bench at all, shoring it up? Or I feel like I'm going to be probably, or what I find effective is to be aggressive during the festive fixtures and to try and play attacking rotation as best you can, and resolve your starting 11 issues. Obviously, your bench is going to come into play because of all of the rotation. But I'm sorry to say it, Jeff, but if your bench wasn't handled by now, then I don't want to say it's too late. It's over for you, Jeff.
Heartbreaking. Wow.
I don't know. I mean,
I think I disagree with you there.
Okay.
I mean, it just depends on how. I mean, you know, it's depends on any particular person's team, but I do think that, you don't have to show up your fifth defender or something, but I mean, if you've got like this fourth midfielder who keeps coming in and costing you points, and there are a number of, this is not like a subject for today's podcast, maybe it will be for an upcoming podcast, but you know, if you want to just like talk about 5 million midfielders, like there are a lot of interesting options there, like, you know, Brooks in particular, right? David Brooks, who we were talking about earlier, like 5.1 million player, just got rested. Maybe he doesn't fit into your starting 11, but, you know, as a fourth or fifth midfielder, like he's kind of an interesting option.
Yeah. All right. I moved the last question into our lightning round, which is coming up next. So stay tuned for that.
Brandon, we've been talking about starting 11 all season. Last week, we talked about starting 11's brand new mini league, since we've been teasing it for a long time, and it's finally here. It's kind of like one of those, like, if you've been waiting to check out starting 11, if you've been waiting to finally get that gambling fix, maybe you're like me and Murata has ruined your will to live and you just need something like new in your life. Starting 11, Brandon, that's what you're looking for. So it's a live Premier League fantasy. It's for free and for cash prize. You can play either way. It's available now for your phone and your Android device. Any day there are two or more matches, you pick your best 11-man squad with no budget restrictions. It also lets you make substitutions in real time, Brandon. So you don't have to be in the situation we were in with Aguero, right? That's when the Aguero news breaks in FPL, you are screwed. Also because you picked your captain the game week before. In this case, you can pick your captain up until the last minute. You can make all those swaps before the matches actually begin. So in that one way, it is... In other ways, it is a massive improvement over the fantasy game as it's set up. So you can join thousands of players worldwide competing in the English Premier League contest for cash and pride. Oh, like Brandon, you wrote this copy, and pride is so...
Yeah, pride is important to me. Yeah, it's very important to me. It's never about the money for me. It's all about the pride. It's strutting down the street, and I'm just pointing fingers at strangers on the sidewalk saying, I beat you at starting 11. I beat you at starting 11. I probably beat you.
You got a paint can in your hand. And it's like the beginning of Sunday Night Fever. It's just walking through Bay Ridge.
Exactly.
So cash games are now available in the US, UK, Canada, and Germany for your iPhone. They're also available on Android devices in the UK, or you can also just pick up the app and play for free wherever you are. So visit starting 11, that's starting11.io for more details. You can also find tutorials there on how to play the game, how to actually join these mini leagues and set up mini leagues with your friends. So once again, go to starting11.io to learn more.
Josh, I love FPL, but I don't know much about gambling. So the advice is, don't waste your time and your money gambling on things you don't understand. Be smart and participate in a game that you do. Starting 11.
Lightning round time, Brandon. James Doncaster says, how much does team loyalty or player investment affect your decision making? I think I can answer for both of us that loyalty means nothing.
Yeah, this is not the Italian mafia here. Loyalty means nothing. Basically, FPL points means everything. So, you know, does Tony Soprano die at the end of The Sopranos? I don't know. But I do know that if he was a great was a great FPL manager, then we would know about that for sure.
Yeah, I think he doesn't, for the record. But that's another conversation. That's a Patreon podcast some other time, Brandon. Player investment. I think he means the like overall ownership levels here. It is a factor, but not an overriding factor. You know, I know there are a lot of good managers also think about things like they like to captain the most captained player. Mm-hmm. I think that this is a game that where defense counts more than it counts a lot more than in other fantasy games, you know, because you can own the same players. And so you have to be more defensive. I'd say it's the weakest part of my game, my personal game.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Investment can rise and fall so fast that I don't take too much stock in it. I mean, you know, James Madison was at one point owned by, you know, I think like 30%+ of managers, right? Yeah. He rose from 6.5 to 7 million in a couple of weeks. And, you know, when his form, he scored a great goal, by the way, this week. But when his goal, like when his form dipped, and then obviously, you know, gets the red card. And I mean, he had dropped, you know, 20%+, you know, so. So in that case, you know, I don't know, like what like was it, you have to like pick a time when the ownership doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the ownership, you know, so I don't really, I mean, it is a factor when you think about someone like Aguero. If it's like over 50%.
Yeah, that's a problem.
That is a major factor. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So,
and team loyalty basically only affects people who are what, like Arsenal and Manchester City fans. I'm a Fulham fan. I'm not going anywhere near Fulham FPL assets. Maybe Mitrovic is a different story, but I think that affects people so rarely. We did have a Jeremy Rollinson, a good friend of ours who played in a cash league with us before. He did terribly one season because it was a Chelsea title winning season and he hated Chelsea to the point where he wouldn't put any of them in his team, and he did terribly.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I guess he didn't seem to care. So it's all how you play the game. If what's important to you is scoring FPL points, you have to get over team loyalty. It really doesn't matter.
Yeah. FPL president says, with West Ham's great fixture run and pressing away to Newcastle, is it worth doubling up in the attack with Arnie and Felipe Anderson? Hey, maybe we throw Chicharito in there too, Brandon. I don't know.
Sure,
maybe
the guy who pops up once every 38 game weeks to remind us of his relevance. Where I'm actually leaning, the pendulum has swung for me. I'm still not into doubling up on West Ham, despite the great fixtures in their attack. But now I'm looking at maybe ditching Arnie and bringing in Felipe Anderson. He's less arthritic knees. And I will say, having Balbuena at 4.4, I'm going to keep banging this drum until I make at least any money on this FPL purchase.
Yeah.
But that is a decent price for this great run of fixtures for West Ham. A guy like Balbuena, even going back to our discussion of Patricio and goalkeeper rotation, Fabianski is right there for the taking. So those are the guys I would be looking at as opposed to a double up in the attack.
Yeah, I just don't trust. I feel like to double up on a team, you've got to think they consistently can score like three goals in a match. And, you know, to justify it, I don't see three goals a match from this team. I agree. I think you could pick your West Ham player, you know, like I don't think that Arnie has to be the only consideration here. But I just don't see a double up as being something that's worthwhile.
Last question of the lightning round from David Taylor. Has the march towards Solly departed? I think it's 5 assists on the season now for Solly March, and he's tied for second most assists in the league. It's insane.
Wow. That is insane. That to me just feels like a false. Florin Andone is actually the player I would be more interested in. You know, I mean, the guy hasn't had like any minutes this season, but he's only 5 million and he looked very attacking. He actually could have had a brace in this game. So I don't know. I mean, obviously you can't. Glenn Murray, in theory, is going to continue to play and start a lot of matches. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I mean, they did. I think they did. No, I guess they did. It was a straight swap for Andone and for Murray. So, I don't know. Sully March, if he was when he was $4.5 million last year, he was more appealing.
Agreed.
$5 million. Yeah, I don't know. Just I don't,
David. You know, the likes of David Brooks, I find more appealing because he has assist and goal potential. Sully March, if he,
yeah.
Am I eating my hat if Sully March scores a goal? I don't know. Maybe
yeah. No, but yeah, you're right. I mean, Brooks is 0.1 more, and and that is a team that could score three goals a match.
Yeah.
Like mm-hmm. I would double up on a Bournemouth team.
All right, we have two game weeks to preview here, 15 and 16. The next game week, good Lord, kicks off Tuesday with Bournemouth, Huddersfield, Brighton, Crystal Palace, West Ham, Cardiff, Watford, Man City. Man City really one of the bigger FPL-relevant teams. I guess we should talk a little bit about Bournemouth at home with Huddersfield. That's a decent matchup for lots of our Bournemouth assets. Who do you like for your team, your FPL captain in game week 15?
It's a good question. Let's assume that Aguero isn't playing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Let's just, let's assume that. I'm not sure that's going to be true or not. It depends on who I bring in. I think Kane would be an option if he's in my team. Mm-hmm. They're home to Southampton on Wednesday. I think that, David Silva, if I brought him in, would be an interesting caption option.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the most likely of their midfield stars to be almost close to guaranteed a spot. I don't know why he would be benched for two matches in a row.
We didn't talk about him at all in the Man City portion of our discussion, but Leroy Sané?
He's an option too. Sané or Silva. I think they're both good options. Maybe I'm looking at this in too narrow of a lens, because I know that Silva's going to start the next game mm-hmm. or feels very, close to certain that he
sure.
will. I don't know. What about any non-standard picks? Like Richarlison?
I was just going to point to Everton at Goodison Park hosting Newcastle, Richarlison or Sigurdsson. So I have this Martial issue. We didn't talk about Martial and our underperforming players, but of course, the classic player in great form. Once I bring him into my team, he hasn't done anything. He looks pretty certain to start because he came on for a 1-point cameo. We can assume that was a rest and he's ready to start against Arsenal on Wednesday. How stout do I think the Arsenal defense is going to be? Can I get anything out of Martial? But I have this itch to turn Martial into somebody else. And Gylfi Sigurdsson is actually really appealing to me. And Everton have some really decent fixtures in the next two. They're both home fixtures in 15 and 16. It's Newcastle and then Watford on Monday. And Sigurdsson and both of those would be a really interesting guy to have. Also, Richarlison, perhaps decent value, cheaper. I like that call as a Everton captain.
And then I think, I don't know. I guess that's it. I mean, the Chelsea, I'm a little kind of off them right now. Maybe Salah or Mane away to Burnley. I mean, I don't have a lot of faith that Burnley are going to keep a clean sheet in that match.
Yeah. So say hypothetically you're a Callum Wilson owner. Any temptation here at home to Huddersfield?
That's a good question.
Callum Wilson he continues to, I kind of hate it because I do love to slag Callum Wilson off for what he's done to FPL managers throughout history, but he continues to look really good this season. He looked great and really bright against City there at home. On Tuesday.
Yeah. I guess just with Josh King back, are the goals going to get split amongst those players a little bit more? Is that, that's the one, mm-hmm. the one concern there. King was really in pretty good form before he got injured. So, he double digit returns in two of his last four before.
And
he got
penalty,
injured. I don't know.
The penalty issue there as well is Josh depends, King going to take the pen over Callum Wilson. Probably one would guess.
Yeah. Yeah, but you can't argue with Wilson's returns this year. He does have double digit returns twice. Seven goals and seven assists in the season. Extraordinary returns for a player who started the year at $6 million. So, he's an option. I just don't know that he's like the premier option this week. Maybe he's a good like vice captain pick because you know he's going to start.
Yeah. Aguero is quite appealing midweek if we know he's got a clean bill of health, but there is this nagging issue of his away form, which is pretty bad
right.
compared to his home form.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I just looking at this Spurs fixture, if it's not Kane, do I use my two frees to turn Salah into somebody like Dele Alli? So there are a few people raising this idea that, well, Kane, so Aubameyang over Kane. That's where we are after Derby Sunday. Leaves space for Spurs coverage pick, so to speak, in the midfield. So you've got Aubameyang coming in for you up front, and then you're getting your Spurs attack in the midfield. So if I do Salah to Dele Alli and anything else from there, I would consider captaining Dele Alli against Southampton.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I just like has he had like a big match this year? You know, like a real dominant performance. It just feels like he's kind of a form player like Eden Hazard is, where it's like he's like one of those players. If you get him at just the right time, you can like get him on this like run of like, you know, three braces in a row or whatever. You know, yeah. Whatever, like it was two seasons ago.
Well, yeah, the roadblock with Dele Alli is I think he has had those performances on the pitch, but they haven't translated into huge FPL hauls. Like as soon as he came back from injury, he subbed in against City in game week 10, looked decent. And Palace, Chelsea, Arsenal, I think specifically Palace and Chelsea, he put in really good performances. That Chelsea match from an FPL standpoint, that's a goal and an assist. Yeah. I think he is in that form. I think he has the attitude that we need. So, yeah, I see your point. It's a punt in that there's no guarantee of returns. Or the stats aren't there to mathematically point you to FPL returns with him. But if I'm going to take a flyer on any of these Spurs players, it's him, bar none.
It would be nice to have a Spurs asset for this upcoming run. That's for sure. I don't really know. Kane feels it's still a tough one to commit to, especially because it almost definitely means Aguero out. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. I'm still very much on the fence about that one. Do we want to talk at all about game week 16? I mean, it's you know, a lot of it feels very dependent on what happens midweek. But
the captainable fixtures? I guess maybe we don't have to talk about individual players given the pileup, but interesting captaincy fixtures. Everton again, as I said, at home to Watford. Watford's defense has been pretty creaky.
Yep. You've got Arsenal home to Huddersfield, mm-hmm. Especially with Lacazette now back and healthy. Hasn't logged a ton of minutes the last couple of weeks. I think he only played 45 minutes, right? And didn't play in the Europa League or last week. So, he might be an interesting option or obviously Aubameyang. Would you think about Martial at home to Fulham? I mean, mm-hmm. I mean, that's probably a hard call because you haven't like really reaped any serious benefits from it, but it'd be an interesting one.
If Martial does anything against Arsenal in 15, then definitely he'd be on the short list for captaincy in the weekend. Any team playing with Fulham on the road is a great fixture. So, yeah, I just need to see something to see something from him in 15. Spurs again, decent fixture. Leicester City's defense has not been great. The Chelsea-Man City matchup, you talked about this earlier in the show about how this is just a huge league title deciding matchup, and there'll be a lot in this match. So it makes it a little more strained in terms of figuring out what the result is going to be or who's going to perform.
Yeah, it'll be interesting for them. And they have played away to Old Trafford, Stamford Bridge, the Emirates, and Anfield. I mean, so they'll have played, you know, away at all four major title contender stadiums. Yeah. And they've already played at Wembley, too. So, I mean, for the second half of the season, it's going to be all home matches against the top teams.
Oh, my God. Mama.
What an incredible Yeah, seriously. I mean, they really might like not lose a match this year. So, yeah, but this might be the one they lose. So, yeah, I think, you know, we mentioned before that, you know, Man City players are always captainable options, but I do think there are probably better options, especially if you have an Arsenal player or a Spurs player. Liverpool too. Liverpool players at Bournemouth. Well, that's not a. I don't see Bournemouth keeping a clean sheet there. And so, if someone like Salah is rested at midweek, Salah at home, you know, Salah away to Bournemouth would be a decent captain option too.
I really blame Charlie Daniels for not having a better score in game week 14. Charlie Daniels is supposed to be over. He had a pretty decent match against Manchester City. I feel like he. Yeah, we could have seen more attacking returns from City if it were not for the mighty Charlie Daniels.
It's Simon Francis, too, with the assist.
Yes, very true. Man.
Amazing, yeah.
Where are you at, Nathan Ake? We're looking for you.
All right, Brandon. Well, that's the podcast. This is one of our shortest podcasts of the season. There's a lot going on. We want to get this one out as soon as possible, obviously. So it didn't take as many questions as we normally do. But, Brandon, we do want to thank our patrons. And, Brandon, I have big news for you because in the middle of this podcast, we got a new patron.
Woo!
While recording, I got a pop-up. Joe Gleason, thank you. Thank you, Joe.
Thanks, Joe. Yeah, just go to patreon.com/alwayscheating for more information about what Patreon is, how it helps us, and how it helps you, all the cool stuff that you can get in return, access to our Slack channel, the Starting 11 Retro Kit Contest, and so on. And right now, for a limited time only, if you're a Patreon member, you get a discount code to the new Always Cheating shop. Mugs are going worldwide, Josh. People love the Always Cheating mug for some reason.
Yeah, we should have talked about that earlier in the podcast. Yeah, we've sold quite a lot of mugs already. So if you want to check that out, Brendan did a great job in the mug design. You can it's got our logo, but it also has the patron saint, the Mount Rushmore of the Always Cheating podcast on there indeed. As well.
Quick thank you to our producers, Mike DiPietro, Stephen Toomey, Sam Streak, Jacob Roberts, Nick Costello, Carl Rasmus, Leni Granley, Chris Howell, Rafi Khan, Martin Savage, Rick Brailsford, Jim Payne, Adam Benjamin, Max Chamberlain, Brian T., Trevor Ingerson, and Chris Carter. You guys are legends. Subscribe to the podcast. Thank you, gentlemen. We are on Spotify. This is new to you and to us. But if you use Spotify, you can now enjoy Always Cheating there. Also subscribe on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play, anywhere that you get fine podcasts. And if you feel like it, if you enjoyed this podcast, just run by iTunes. Give us a 5-star review. We really appreciate it. You can also follow us. Yeah. I feel like social media is going to be very helpful to all of us over the next 48 hours because we tried to cover a lot in this podcast, the shorter podcast, but there are going to be lots of issues that come up with various press conferences and injury news. If you have any questions for us, hit us up on Twitter at Hail Cheaters. That's H-A-I-L Cheaters. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/alwayscheating. Send us an email, hailcheaters@gmail.com. And Josh, you know where to find us. If you just need all that information in one place, go to alwayscheating.com and we'll set you up.
Brandon, you said it all. So thank you again for listening to the podcast and good luck this week. We won't be back at midweek. So, you know, we'll have 2 game weeks to talk about next week. But best of luck to everybody and hail Poku, Brandon. Praise Poku.
Poku forever.
So many different ways for us to share our love for Poku.
It's Poku season.
It is. It's Poku's world, Brandon. We're just living in it.
All right. Good luck, Josh.
Yeah, good luck, Brandon.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE system technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.